Good morning and welcome to the Community Connection. It is Wednesday. Meet your neighbor. We are talking to Corey Musgrave today. Hi, Corey. How are you doing?
Oh, doing great. Thanks for having me out today.
Oh, no problem. It's time to find out all about you.
Yep.
It's hard for people to talk about themselves, so you're going to have to learn how to do that here in the next few months while you're running for representative.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So we're going to find out all about you, your Fairfield roots, your mom, your dad, your school, the whole thing in just a few moments here on the Community Connection. Okay? Sound good?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited about it. Thank you
okay.
for having me.
No problem. And we'll be back in just a moment.
Here's Dave Ramsey with today's Ramsey Reality Check.
The people that decide to take control of areas of their life, and they decide way deep down in their decider, not a drive-by, not a passing fancy, but way down in your decider, you decide. When you decide to do that, you can get out of debt, you can get on a budget, you can get your baby step forward going into your 401k and be on a track to be an everyday millionaire. The first step in your journey begins by tuning in to your home for the Dave Ramsey Show in Fairfield, WFIW AM 1390 and 103.3 FM.
We are back on the Community Connection. We are talking to Corey Musgrave from Fairfield. You're originally from Fairfield, right?
Yes, grew up here in Fairfield.
All right. And your mom and dad are?
Lonnie Musgrave and Kim Musgrave.
Oh, okay.
And both from Wayne County. Dad's from Fairfield. And my mom is from Wayne City. So.
Oh, okay. All right. So they have already served. Lonnie served as a police officer, right?
No. My dad... my grandpa in 1963 started Musgrave Body Shop.
Oh, okay.
They're out there by the airport. The blue building when you're going headed north, like up to Jeff. So it's that blue building there by the airport.
Right.
And my dad has worked there his whole life. So.
Oh, cool. So a family business.
Yeah, family business.
Okay. So did you grow up learning how to repair automobiles?
Yeah, I did. You know, grew up living next to the body shop and... My dad always worked in there, and so even at a young age, they would start giving me jobs to do. My grandpa said there were times he met guys that couldn't even sweep a floor right. So the first job I had was I learned how to sweep the floor, and that's a daily task in a body shop.
Well,
so,
yeah.
Started doing that, then worked up to disassembling cars that were wrecked, and then sanding, you know.
Yeah.
It can be a monotonous job. And then finally, you know, before I left, I was just doing the whole deal.
Oh, okay. All right. So what was it like growing up there at the body shop? Good times?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we had horses. We had the body shop there. I had motorcycles. We lived right there on the highway, right there by Mount Vernon Road. And I just had a good childhood.
Plus, you were right across from the airport.
Yeah, good early days. And so fond memories. I was able to restore a lot of cars I worked there in the body shop. And that's a neat task that you learn. It really gives you an appreciation then when you go to a car show and you see some of these machines. And you know how many hours were put into them to make them look that way.
Okay.
And it taught me a good work ethic.
Oh, all right. When you started, let's talk about your brothers and sisters. You have brothers and sisters?
I have one sister that's younger than me. Her name is Jenny.
Okay.
And she's lived, her and her husband have been children's pastors kind of across the United States.
Oh.
And actually just Sunday, she's moving back closer to home. But with the climate in Illinois, she is staying on the Indiana side of the border and she's moving to Princeton. So.
Oh, okay. So she'll be working in Princeton.
Yep, her and her husband will be in the Princeton. He's from Mount Carmel.
So closer to his home.
Yep, closer to his home.
All right. Is it exciting to have your sister back?
You know, absolutely. I said this the other day. You know, as kids growing up, she was younger than me, and you kind of look at your sibling maybe as a drag on what you want to do, and you don't always see eye to eye. And of course, we were that way as young kids, but. As you grow up, you learn how much you appreciate them. And so I'm so proud of my sister. She manages some social media accounts for some big names, and she's done very well. And proud of my brother-in-law, and we get along great. And I'm excited for her to be back closer to home.
Okay.
So.
All right. So did you go to, when you started school, did you go to Northside, or did you go
Well, actually, yeah. So we're kind of right there on that line, and I lived just north of the body shop when I grew up, and my parents actually took me, and I remember they registered me at Jeff Grade School. But then after the registration, we found out that years ago that property had been annexed into the Fairfield School District. So I went to Northside and to Fairfield Grade School, graduated junior high from Center Street, and then went on to Fairfield Community High School.
Okay. You have any memories of Northside?
Oh, sure. You know, today I just actually sat and met with the retired teachers here in Wayne County.
Oh, yeah.
And my kindergarten teacher was there.
Really?
Yeah, Mrs. Brake, and she was my kindergarten teacher. And I remember back in those days, they still had, you know, you'd get a spanking if you did something wrong. And I was always terrified of that. And I remember as a kindergartner, I went to deliver the attendance to Mr. Phillips's office. He was the superintendent. And he kind of looked at me with a stern look. And here's this little kindergartner. And he said, what'd you come here for? You need a spanking? And I was like, oh, no. I left my paper and ran back to my classroom. And I was just kind of terrified. So.
Okay.
I never did receive one in school, so I was always good enough. I never did have to have one of those.
Good. And what about Center Street, moving to Center Street? Was that anxious for you?
Yeah, I mean, you're always, you know, you change
positions.
It's a big school, right? And you kind of do that with every transition in your life.
Yeah.
But still had some great teachers, you know. I saw Mr. Liston today. He was a teacher I had.
Right.
I still remember he had this... Mr. Liston did a lot of things that were very impactful for kids, but I remember going to the back of the class. I said one time I couldn't do something, and he took me back to this picture of a ladder, and at the bottom it said, I can't. And he just put his arm around me like Mr. Liston did a lot of times, said, I want you to look up at that picture, son. He said, look at that. If you say you can't, you're always going to be at the bottom. He's like, don't ever say that again. Mm-hmm. I still remember that to this day. Still remember Mrs. Lang. She made such a big impact on my life. She made history just kind of come alive in the classroom. And I love history today, I think, as a part of some of the lessons she taught.
Right. Yeah. I had Mrs. Lang for 3 months.
Okay.
I only went to Center Street for 3 months.
Okay.
And before that, in the previous 3 months, I had been going to school in Florida. So we learned the Civil War from the Southern perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly, everything I knew was wrong.
Really? Huh. So was that different?
It was, there were noticeable differences.
Okay.
So, I was just stunned, and she said it was okay. She understood. So, all right. Did you participate in any sports in Center Street?
Well, I did a lot of, I never was much on just like the school athletics. We had horses, like I said. So what I did, I was involved in 4-H. I rode horses, showed horses in Wayne County and in other surrounding counties as a part of 4-H. And so that's kind of the
Did you keep a record book? And
no, I didn't have... Well, yeah, I mean, for other projects, we didn't have too much for the horse showing, but for some of the other things I did, yeah, you had to keep all these big record books.
What was the most memorable thing you did in 4-H?
You know, I think... One year we went up to Springfield to the state fair, and they have that Coliseum there, and that's where they had the horse show. And the night before, they had a bunch of cattle in there that had really compacted the soil down. And they went up and just barely raked the surface, and so they didn't dig it up. And so what it left is this small layer of dirt on top of this hard compacted, and it was slick. And so we were barrel racing. And if you're listening, you know what that is. You take your horse, and they have three barrels set up in the arena, and you run around each barrel, and whoever can run do the course the fastest wins.
Right.
And horses were falling down. And I had someone come out and say, you know, it's not going to be worth it. Go out there and just trot around the barrels. Don't push your horse.
Okay.
But I didn't go all the way from I rode in the back of a pickup truck. That was back when you could still – I rode in the back of a pickup truck from Fairfield all the way up to Springfield. We had a camper top on it, but I didn't ride all the way up there just to go up there and trot around. So I went out with my horse, and she was fast. And, I mean, I just went for it. And around the second barrel, she falls all the way down lengthwise.
My.
And she fell on my leg, which it didn't hurt me. But when she got up right away after she fell down, I was still in the saddle. I had hung on.
Yeah.
I've got this on videotape, so I can prove what I'm saying. So I got up and finished the course even after falling all the way down. So that was probably one of the most memorable things. I've still got belt buckles I won and different trophies, but it was I learned a lot, and it was a good sport to be in.
Okay. What was your favorite class at Center Street?
There's so many. I hate to say this because so many of the teachers are listening, you know, that used to teach me, and they were all impactful, but I would say probably history.
History.
I mean, yeah.
Okay. With Mrs. Lang.
With Mrs. Lang.
Okay. Do you have any idea as to what you want to do or what you want to study because you're getting ready to go to high school? Do you have any idea at that point what you want to do with your life?
No, I mean, I had different ideas. I had always been good in math and loved history and science, and so it was kind of wide open at that point.
All right, so then it is off to FCHS. Was
right.
that apprehensive even more because it's a bigger school?
Sure, yeah. I went there in 1997 was when I started my freshman year.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you wonder, you hear all the stories about someone throwing you in the bushes or giving you a wedgie or whatever. And you're apprehensive about it. But no, it was good. After you get I was worried about getting lost, you know, in a different environment. Kind of confusing, the different levels, and not once you're there, but I mean, as it going in, I remember as a kid just kind of worrying about some of that stuff.
Right.
No, it was good.
Okay. We will talk more about high school and the aftermath of that with Corey Musgrave here in just a few moments on the Community Connection.
Mike Dreith here. Join me weekdays at 7:10 in the morning and 12:10 right before the new news for Talk Isn't Always Cheap. An opinion commentary about my perspective on the news of the day. It could be insight about federal or state policy or local matters. It's also posted on WFIWradio.com. Talk isn't always cheap. Weekdays on the station listened to, not just heard. 104.9 WFIW.
We are back on the Community Connection. We're talking to Corey Musgrave. We are up to high school, so... Did you participate in any sports in high school? Were you in the band?
No, I still FFA? Did the. I still did the. At that time, the FFA program wasn't as big as it is today. It wasn't. They've really done a lot to improve FFA, and I think they should be commended on that. Kurt Robbins has done an incredible job with that.
Right.
No, I wasn't involved with that in high school. I still did 4-H and rode horses, and then worked at the body shop. So that took up a lot of my time. And I had motorcycles too.
Oh, okay.
So I was riding dirt bikes, and I didn't compete, but we just had them around the house.
Right, and something to do after class.
Uh huh.
What were your favorite classes in high school?
You know, I loved math. I had Mrs. Wood starting out as a freshman, and then Mrs. Monge in math classes in the gifted math program, and I loved that program. Really enjoyed the history classes that I took as well.
Okay.
And I would say those were probably my two favorite.
Oh, okay.
Probably history and math.
All right. And were you thinking, what am I going to do after high school?
Yeah. So after high school,
junior year.
Yeah, you start thinking about those things. And I was really seriously thinking about engineering.
Okay.
Because also with science, I took Chem 1, Chem 2 physics during my high school years. And
right.
I just kind of really thought mechanical engineering because I liked cars. I liked how things were made. I liked working on small engines. And so my senior year, I started dating my wife. Now her name was Jana Doty at the time. She was a junior. I was a senior. And we decided to get married. And after high school, we got married in 2003, but I met her in high school, so that kind of changed directions a little bit.
Oh, okay. All right. So did you go to college after?
Yeah, so after I graduated, I got a scholarship to go out to Frontier.
Okay.
And I was out there for a little while, and I was put on as the student trustee of the Illinois Eastern Community Colleges. And what that is, that's a student representative that sits on the board of the college, and you have a non-binding vote, which means you get to vote as kind of a... to give your influence, but it's not, you know, it doesn't count if it was a tie.
Right. It gives board members a
perspective.
Idea of the student's perspective.
So I was very involved with the school, took a lot of classes, worked during that time as well, and really appreciated my time at Illinois Eastern Community College. So,
oh, okay. And
graduated, or Frontier. I mean, I graduated from there.
Right. So what did you do after Frontier?
So after Frontier, I graduated in May, and then we got married in June.
Okay.
And so I did distance education through Southwest Assembly of God University.
Okay.
At that time, I was starting to help out more with the church, and that was the direction I wanted to go. And so after I got married, my wife was going to Frontier. And so back in that time, distance education is really popular now. It was really just in the early 2000s is kind of when it was starting. Getting started. And so that's what I went next.
Oh, okay. So what was that like, the distance education?
So back then I would fly to Dallas and drive over to the college for a week, and I would meet with all the professors. Back at then, the streaming wasn't a big thing like it is now.
Okay.
And so I would either get cassette tapes of lectures or video. It was back in, we didn't have DVDs then. It was the video cassette tapes.
You know, it was very
VHS,
early.
Yeah. So we would get that. We still had email.
Okay.
I'd send my papers in via email, but so that's what that was like.
So, and I try to describe that. I teach at the college. I teach the IST. And I try to describe early email, and I can't really. I don't really have a good measure for it. So, what is it like in the early 90s sending an email with your papers in?
Yeah, I mean, it was different. It was, it's the early 2000s, and it was just different than what it is today. Now you have all the programs and stuff so much faster, and
you don't have to use your phone line.
No, you don't have to have that crackling noise and tie up your phone when you're on the internet. And yeah, it was back in the good old days.
Okay. All right. You and your wife got married in 2003?
Yeah, we got married in 2003.
Okay. And so do you have any kids?
Yeah, so we've been married 16 years, and okay. We've got 5 kids now. And I have a boy that his name's Jeremiah, he's 12. I have another boy, his name's Evan, he's 11. I have a daughter named Kylie, she's 8. And then I have a daughter named Cora, who's 4.
Mm-hmm.
And my youngest, his name is Levi, and he is almost, on the 10th will be his birthday, and he'll be turning 3.
Oh, okay. All right. So what is it like having a family of 5? I mean, people ask me, because we have twins, what it's like having twins. What's it like to having 5?
You know, that's what I tell people. I say, once you get past 2, you run out of hands, to hold them. And so then it's just the more the merrier. So, no, it's good. I can't imagine life without any of them. And so we love spending time together and being together.
And they're perfect in every way, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So, then you started, when did you start working with the local Assembly of God Church?
Well, I preached my first message there when I was 17.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, all the way back then. And so, but I've been the lead pastor for just a little over 3 years.
Okay. How did that come about?
Well, the pastor that was there decided to leave, and so then they had a vacancy, and so then...
And they said, when you were 17, you preached, why don't you
do
it again?
Yeah, but I was helping as an associate role at that time.
Oh, okay. So you were preaching off and on.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay. So what is it like? What is the service like at the Assembly of God Church?
Well, I'd say...
Let me see. It's not the Assembly of God Church.
That's fine. You can call it. It's New Beginnings.
It's New Beginnings.
That's the name.
Yeah.
It's an Assembly of God Church. So I was really blessed with the ability to speak into different congregations. And so I've been in all different denominations of churches. Union North out here, east of town, they were so good to me as a young kid. They would allow me to come in. They were looking for a pastor, and I'd preach out there twice a month. And I owe so much to those people. They're wonderful people out there. And I've preached in Christian churches before, and Baptist churches, and Presbyterian, all these different kinds. And so service is a lot like other churches. I mean, we sing kind of worship songs.
Right.
And we have a time of worship, and then I preach a message, and we have a time for people to respond if they want to and be prayed for. And then we have a lot of other neat programs that happen, like Life Recovery, which is great for the community. It's to help people trying to recover from addiction.
And oh, okay.
People can come in on Monday evenings. We have a meal and then kind of a program where we provide support, and it's well attended. And We do all sorts of stuff. We have great youth programs, children's programs.
Okay.
So it's a good congregation of people.
Okay. You know, there are no better people than the people in Fairfield, right?
Oh, that's what I think. It's home of the friendly people.
That's
I mean,
right. So, so now you're on to your next adventure, which is running for state representative.
Yeah.
Okay. So do we want to go back through the whole prayer episode, or do we want to just start there where you decide
you
to go?
I mean,
to...
So I, you know, people have asked that question, and when I went up there on the 31st, I had no idea I was going to run for office.
Right.
That was the day that actually Dale said he was going to step down, and through a series of events, I ended up announcing I was going to run. I was always interested, again, going back to Mrs. Lang, and you know, I know she's passed on now, but she really, you know, she taught the Constitution, and we you have to take that
right
and pass
that
it. But yes, and I, you know, part of her is probably putting a passion for government is how she taught it, honestly. And so then I went on to high school. I went to Boys State. I was part of that, and that's put on by the American Legion, and they just civic duty, civic engagement, government, and that was after my junior year. And as I sit back, and I've got five kids, and my fifth great-grandfather is William Simpson, I was thinking about all the people that had come through my family that's been here since the early 1800s. And I love this area. I love the people here. And if I want my kids to be able to stay, things have to change. And for too long, I think we've sat back, and I've sat back, and just said, well, that's somebody else's job. Somebody else can deal with it.
Right.
And what's happened is we've seen people go up and just serve themselves instead of serve the people. And my heart is to serve the people. So.
Okay. Did, let me ask you this question. This might be too soon to ask it because I just saw it this morning. Former Governor Jim Edgar was in Champaign, and he said that, was asked about the separation movement. And he said that if Southern Illinois people aren't getting anything from Springfield, it's probably because they're sending poor representatives. Or that's what he implied.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the case.
No, I think that's an unfair statement. I didn't hear that statement he made. I'd say that's an unfair statement. You know, the separation topic is a hot topic right now. People have questions about it. And I think the issue is when you look at how our legislative bodies are made up here in Illinois, they departed from the federal system. Our House seats and our Senate seats are basically mirror images of each other. In the federal government, that's not the case. Okay. Your House seats are set by population, and your Senate seats are just set by the state. Every state gets two, no matter how many... population is. In Illinois, what they've done is just combined two House seats for the Senate seat. So the rural areas in Illinois do not have a check against these high population areas running everything.
Right.
So what we have is we have politicians from Chicago addressing regional issues, but they're using state legislation to do that that affects all of us. That needs to stop. And that's the conversation that needs to happen is you guys are taking us places we don't want to go. If you want to do it regionally, that's your business.
Right.
Go ahead, but don't force everything on the whole state.
Okay. All right. We have run out of time. And the conversation
I've got more
start,
to say, but...
conversations start just starting to get
interesting. I know. So, well, you know, I guess if anyone has any questions for me, I'd love to talk with you. I'll even give my number. It's 618-599-6035. Or you can email me, Corey@CoreyMusgrave.com. I'd love to hear from you and answer any questions you've got.
Or you can connect with him on Facebook, too.
Yep, Facebook as well. Absolutely.
All right. Corey, thanks for coming in. It's been nice to get to know a little bit more about you.
Yeah. Thank you.
And that's going to do it for today.